A musical adventure. New artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long. I mean, these are songs that I grew up listening to. Can't get them out of my head. Hi, how are you? Going through a little bit of a cruise preview here in my head for my loyal audience. Just wanted you to know next week we're going to be in the Beach Boys cruise out at sea with our good friend Maggie Rose and a whole bunch of other cool people. So there's going to be a lack of an episode for a week or so. So check our socials, though, for photo and video. And then we'll be back rocking and rolling the week after. So, but I hope everyone is doing great. And super excited, guys, for today's guest. Actually, she's a friend of the show at this point. She's family of the show. It has become one of our great honors and privilege to connect with this artist since 2020. This is her third time on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary, one of the most influential musicians, activists, and songwriters of all time, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome back to the show Judy Collins. Judy is going to be honored in April in California at the She Rocks Awards, where women, badass women in the music business, are recognized. We hope to be there. And yeah, Judy's here on the show. We talk about that. We talk about major moments in her creative evolution, the lasting influence of her father, you know, being an entertainer and enjoying it more than ever at this stage in her career, how her activism crosses all political spectrums, and we even pay homage to the late David Crosby as well. So welcome, Judy. Thank you so much for being here. It means the world to me, to us. It's an honor, as usual. And for all the new listeners, welcome. Please click subscribe, give us a review. Takes 20 seconds, helps us a lot. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Judy Collins back on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast.
Here we go, sound. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you and see you great, Judy. How about you? Look at you, you look great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
So great to see you again, Judy.
Yeah. Good to see you too. How are you?
I'm doing great, Judy. I have to tell you, Judy, you know, obviously, you know, one of the greatest artists of all time. Just a delight every time we talk to you, Judy. It's like a highlight for us.
Thank you.
I said to my producer, Sam, this morning, the reason why I take you so seriously, Judy, is the fact that I lived in the same time frame that you lived. Like, people, like, years from now, people are going to say, oh my God, that person was alive when Judy was alive. I mean, the albums, let's not even get into your gritty, impactful activism, just the albums, not just the songs. So, you know, we're going to talk about the tribute in a second, Judy, but I just have to throw you your flowers because you inspire us every day.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you.
Judy, by the way, let's settle it now. Like, let's just settle it right now. What is the greatest Judy Collins song of all time? Because me and my buddy got into this thing. He goes both sides now. I go, wait a second. You're forgetting Albatross. Then he goes on, what about Sending the Clowns? And we just went on and on. What is the greatest Judy Collins song of all time, Judy?
Whatever one comes to your mind. it'll always be different. You know, the song I'm singing at the moment has to be my favorite, or else there's no point. So I only chose songs along the line that I knew were going to be fabulous for me to sing. And that's me. So I can say that it's what I'm singing at the moment.
I love it, Judy. By the way, you're getting honored April 13th at the 11th annual She Rocks Awards in Anaheim. We hope to be there. The award, of course, honors trailblazing women and Judy from all areas of the industry, educators, label executives, you know, on and on. You're getting, you know, and of course, your honor, as long as Shelly Paikin, you know, Noelle Skaggs. But Judy, I have to ask you, when you get all these accolades, you know, all this admiration after all these years, like, do you ever think about your late father,
Judy. And the reason I ask is because I know he was so proud of you. You know, he passed away when he was like 57 years old, so young, from a brain aneurysm. You know, you've talked about this plenty, but he was always so proud of you. Like, do you still, like, when you get all these things, do you still think, man, like, you know, my dad would be so proud of me or something?
Well, I think about his journey, which was extremely fascinating to me. The fact that he decided when he was a child, he was 4 years old when he was completely blind. And my great-grandfather has spoke to me before his death about the time he saw my father when he was 4 years old out in the field near the house where they lived on the Nez Perce Reservation. And he was in the sort of in the weeds, you would call it, or the grass, but he was clapping. And my great-grandfather said to him, "Charlie, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm listening to the barn." And it's because that's how he found his radar. He found that he could hear everything around him. He made his way in the world without a dog, without a cane. And he could wear fingers because they would absorb the shock. But he went everywhere without a dog and a cane. He went to a great high school in Gooding, Idaho, where they really worked on these kids. You know, they were blind, they were deaf, they had very challenged lives. But these teachers really, and I used to get letters from his teachers in the old days who would talk about my father and how smart he was and how incredibly eager he was to be flexible, to be available, to be able to learn what to do. And yeah. He started his own orchestra before he went to college. He toured with his band for about 4 years, and when he was 18, and then in 21 when he was 21 he was back in school. Isn't that right? I don't know. No, he had a touring band for a while before he settled into his radio career, and which he did for 30 years. So I think about him so often, because life for my father was very challenging. Life for me is it's challenging, but it's nothing like what he had to do. Sure. I mean, it's amazing. And the thing is that I've learned from my dad what to do, to show up on time, to be committed to what I was doing, to choose the right songs, to not be settling for half measures, and not to be settling for what was wrong with the world. Always to take action. You know, he's the person from whom I learned my activism.
Yeah.
So I have everything to be grateful to my dad for.
Amazing. And it makes so much sense to hear this, Judy, because, you know, watching you, you know, have so much joy in your everyday life, like in the Grammys, for example, last month, or, you know, you were having such a great time. You know, we saw your post, Clive Davis, you know, presenting awards, the whole thing. Judy, you look more happy and more jovial than ever. Maybe you get it from your dad, but like, where else? Like, am I right or am I wrong? You seem to be enjoying things more than ever, Judy.
I am more than ever, because first of all, I can do this. You know, I know that there are a lot of my friends and performers who have kind of dropped out of the performing scene. This is what I live for. This is what I need to have in my life, is to work, to sing, to talk, to entertain people and make them happy. Even for a couple of hours, there they are. They're in a realm where I can make them laugh. I can have them listen to a great song. I can hopefully tell them a joke or two, you know, or a story about my life. I think that our lives are really built on hearing the stories of other people, whether it's our parents or our friends or our neighbors or the people we go to school with. The people that we learn are our best support as we get older. Who are you going to call when you're in trouble? You know, who are you going to tell what's happening to you? It's very important to know that. And I do now, which is one of the reasons that I'm happier than ever.
Beautiful. Very well said, Judy. You know, thinking of the She Rocks Award here that are coming up, I love the idea, Judy, that you have never stopped, you know, like you say, activism and caring about people's rights, clean environment, equality, having a better world, that whole thing. But what's fascinating, Judy, is that almost everyone in today's society who takes some sort of stance ends up offending half the country. Half the country is offended. And you have managed, Judy Collins, one of your greatest achievements is that you've always been appreciated from coast to coast, up and down. Just, it doesn't matter what the beliefs in, you know, just for your causes. Everyone just seems to connect with you and your heart. How have you done this, Judy?
A homage to the fact that Amazing Grace is a song that I found in 1969. I was at an encounter group, and that was what we did in those days. We had all kinds of healing things going on, you know, meditating and doing group challenges together and having encounters. And it was going badly that night. And so my producer, who was a member of that group, said, well, I think you better sing something because people are at each other's throats. And I said, okay, I'll sing this song that my grandmother taught me. I sang it. It calmed everybody down. The next day he said, we have to record this. I went into a studio, into a church on the campus of Columbia University, St. Paul's Chapel. And I recorded this song with a whole bunch of friends. It wasn't a professional chorus, but it turned out to be an incredibly popular song around the world. And I think that what it means, I just had the experience during the pandemic of a young man, Pat Atherton is his name. He's a street cleric, and he goes around the city trying to make people happy and talk about the gospel. But basically, he wanted to give the doctors and the nurses at Charing Hospital a lift. So he found, he's half my age at least, but he didn't know me. He wasn't a fan, but he went through the library and tried to find the best version of Amazing Grace, which he thought was mine. His mother said, oh, that's the one, go ahead and use it. And he played it in the street, and it came, he recorded it. And it came to me over this computer. I turned on my computer one day and I saw a picture of the church in the street, and I heard my own voice singing Amazing Grace. And pretty from the record label from Warner Brothers saying, we want to make a choir of this, of 1,000 singers, which they did. They reached out around the world with my help. I sat here and I made 30 little videos for 30 different countries, inviting singers to join this international choir. And so you can see it on YouTube now. It's 1,000 singers joining me for Amazing Grace. So I think part of it is that I have been blessed in many ways. And I believe that people want to do the right thing. I really do. And because we can all join in singing Amazing Grace once in a while, I think it helps people's lives. And it helps me.
Yeah. Wow. Beautifully said, Judy. I mean, thank you for your time. I know you have a busy day. Let me a couple more questions, Judy. Let me ask you about David Crosby. I know you talked about it a little bit. He passed recently. You know, what a legacy, right? I feel like when he passed to the other side, people appreciated like his good at the end. That's just my observation, that people just forgot about the noise and just got out the beautiful. How do you remember, you know, David, now that we're, you know, a month plus past his passing?
Well, I knew him, of course, when Crosby, Stills, and Nash started. I have a picture right here behind me of me and David and Graham and Joni in the studio while they were recording, while the guys were recording Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. And of course, David sang Sweet Judy Blue Eyes for how many years? 40, 50, 60, I don't know. And I think it helped. And I think he was tremendously interesting and wonderful. And what an addition to our sense of what's really good in music. You know, I turned to Stephen, with whom I was sitting at the Clive Davis dinner. I was sitting with Stephen and Kristen Stills, whom I adore, my husband and I, Lewis and I, and Joni was at the table. And I said, while this was all going on, I said to Stephen, all we need is a little Crosby, Stills, and Nash to make this thing really rock. And of course, it was true, because that's the way I feel about their music.
Yeah, absolutely, Judy. Well, Judy, let me leave you with this. You've always, you know, had great books on your coffee table. What are you reading? Recommend us something, you know.
I'm reading a book by Chris Whipple right now, which is called The Great Test of Joe Biden. And it's a brilliant book. And I'm just in the middle of reading a book about the chancellor, Andrea Merkel, which was written by Kadi Martin. I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful book. It's wonderfully written. She has written some magnificent books, Kadi Martin. So Chris Whipple's on my list. And of course, every once in a while, I read an Ian Rankin book, which I love.
Yeah, I love it. Love it, Judy. Thanks for that. Thank you for your time. So great to see you as usual. You just look better and better and better every time, Judy. Have a great day. Have a great weekend and all the blessings to you and your family.
Blessings. Take care of yourself. Have a good one.
And hope to see you in April. I hope to see you in California.
Okay, good. I'll look forward to it. God bless.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.